Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon. Good afternoon to each and every one. This is Apostle Miller, and this is Monday. Hallelujah. Thank God for Monday. And I tell you, I want to prophesy to you today. Listen, this is the day that the Lord has made. And listen, because Jesus came and he finished the work. He did everything that was between you and God and I. Jesus fixed it. I want you to hear me. He fixed it. He restored the relationship with us and the Father. And now we can go to the Father. We can go boldly to his throne. Well, the point I really want to make is this. And the Bible tells us in John 10, the thief come only but to steal, kill, and destroy. But I came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Now listen, if you've been born again, if you don't accept Jesus, your Lord and Savior, listen, not only this day, but every day can be a day of breakthrough for you. Listen at me good. It can be a day of breakthrough. The reason why I say it can be, because you have something to do with it. Listen, you in covenant with Almighty God. And the Bible tells us that God will not break his covenant, nor he alter the things that go out of his mouth. Whatever God said, it going to be that. But listen, he needs you to keep believing, trusting, and expecting him to fulfill his promise. So listen. This is going to be a good day for you, but listen, you need to believe, expect it, and decree that. This is the day that the Lord have made, and because Christ is in me and I'm in Christ, the hope of glory Almighty is in me, I shall overcome. Not might, but whatever you're going through today, I want to encourage you to know, because the greater one is in you, because we have a better covenant with the Father. And Christ is in us, the hope of glory, regardless to what it looked like. And if it's not lining up with what God's word or what God done promised or said to you in his word, guess what? It have to change. But God needs you to believe and have confidence and trust what his word say about your situation. This is Apostle Miller, as I stated in the beginning, and this is Monday, and I thank and praise the Lord for this day. I'm expecting God to do something today for me that he didn't do yesterday. I'm expecting increase in my life today. I'm expecting prosperity. I'm expecting divine health. Yes, it belonged to me because that's part of the covenant. We've been in Hebrews, the 11th chapter. This is our third week where, you know, we'll be on Mondays and Thursdays. And we've been talking about the Hall of Faith. Some say the Heroes of Faith, the Hall of Faith. But we've been talking about how they believed and how they obeyed and trust God. And, you know, and the reason I want to bring some in today, because we're in the eighth verse, and we've been talking about Abraham, the father of faith. But I was in the service on Saturday, and I thank and praise the Lord for it. And we talked about the covenant. We have a better covenant than they had in the Old Testament. You know, and I found out a lot of times, a lot of people have knowledge and a little bit of understanding about the old covenant, but they act like when we got in the New Testament, God did away with covenant. God did not do away with it. God is a God of covenant, and we're gonna go in Genesis. We're gonna start in Genesis the 15th chapter, because I want you to see that, because that's important. You need to know that that's important. You need to understand the covenant. We are in covenant with God, and we got a better covenant. Jesus sealed that covenant with his blood. And this is what all these people had in common. They understood the importance of what it meant to be in covenant. And that's something I'm finding out. We as born-again believers, And this new covenant is better, but you need to have some knowledge and understanding about the covenant. Like we said in the beginning about faith. The Bible tells us in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, I think it's the 6th, it says it's impossible to please God without faith. Well, now, since we read that, we need to know, since it's impossible to please God without faith, we need to have a knowledge of what is faith and how to operate in faith. You know, the things of God, you just don't automatically walk in or understand the things of God. You know, it takes time. The other word, it's a process. It's a forever process. I don't care how long you be saved and how long you live on this earth. You're continually going to be in a process because the Bible says we go from faith to faith and glory to glory. But there, too, again, we have something to do. Now, in Hebrews, the 4th chapter, it tells us that God was not, in that first chapter, it tells us that God was not pleased with a lot of the Israelites. And the reason why he wasn't pleased with them, because they did not put their faith and trust and wholeheartedly into God. They did not persevere in faith. Yeah, they even though God did 10 plagues for them and brought them out of Egypt with a strong hand, God not only revealed to the children of Israel, but he also revealed to Pharaoh that I am the only God to worship. You know, Pharaoh and Obed, they had many gods. And God showed himself strong. And see, Pharaoh had in there, he was some kind of type of God as well. But God had to reveal to Pharaoh as well as the children of Israel, I am the only true God to worship. And Israel is my chosen people. Because when God told Moses and Aaron to go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Now, God gave Pharaoh the opportunity to let him go. But Pharaoh was stubborn, and he decided no. And then he said, who is this God anyway that I need to obey? Y'all, let me tell you something. Even in the time now that we living in, here's a lot of things that's happening on the earth. And and I'm going to be honest with you. If you don't stay focused on the Lord, if we don't stay focused on the Lord, what we see sometimes, or have you to believe, or ask the question, where is God? God have not left us, and that's why it's so important we need to really stay focused on God through his word. That's why it's a must. If you want to keep your faith growing, you got to get in this word, and you got to feed your faith. Listen at me good. It's your responsibility to feed your faith. Now, you listen and thank God for Apostle Armstrong. He is the host of this broadcast. Thank God for him. On Thursday from 6 to 7 this year, you know. But he is the host, and I thank God for Apostle Armstrong. Later, Armstrong went home to be with the Lord, and I just thank and praise the Lord how God continued to grace and strengthen him to go on. You know, because guess what? One day we all that are born again, we going to be with the Lord. But until then, we have a work to do. And we all just have to continue to pray for one another, lift one another up. But I'm going to continue with the Hall of Faith, because each one of them. But God showed me some when it came down to the 8th verse. And I'm going to read from the 8th to the 17th verse, because that verse 8 all the way to the 17 is talking about Abraham and Sarah's relationship with God. But I want to show you how God made a covenant with Abraham. And the Bible tells us that Abraham is the father of faith. The Bible tells us how Abraham believed God, it was counted as righteousness for him. You know, now this was up on the old covenant. And, you know, I find out sometimes we can get so excited about what took place up under the old covenant, or how God showed up in the old covenant. And we just act like since we're in the new covenant, some people act like God done forgot about us. No, that's not true. That's not true. You know, no, we're not up under the Mosaic law anymore, because that was like a schoolmaster until Jesus came on the scene. That was to show mankind that they needed a Savior. They needed help, you know, you know. So when that time was up, then Jesus came on the scene. But we have a better covenant with better promise. So that's what I'm going to put this in there today. We're going to talk about the covenant. And I'm saying, if you've been born again, hear me good. You in covenant with Almighty God. That's why the Bible tells us the greater one lives on the inside of us. You know, but if you don't have knowledge or understanding about a covenant, you know, the enemy will continue to deceive you and have you think you defeated, you ain't going to make it, don't nobody care about you, the Lord done forgot about you. The Bible tells us, and I think it's in Numbers, the 23rd chapter, either the 22nd, if I'm not making a mistake, but it tells us that God is not a man that he will lie, nor the son of man that he'll repent. Has not God spoken that God won't bring it to pass? And all of us, at times, we don't wrestle with the promise of God. And most of the time, if you wrestle with the promise of God, that's a sign you lack in knowledge and understanding of what God's word say. Come on, somebody. We serve a God that will never forsake us. Now, my Father just happened to be God. Just happened to be the creator. So today, let's go. We're going to go to Hebrews. I'm going to go to Hebrews. I'm going to read my foundation scripture. We're going to go to Hebrews. I tell you, to save time, what I'm going to do, I'm going to read Hebrews, the 11th chapter. In the 11th chapter, I'm going to read that 8th verse through the 17th verse. I'm going to read it from my life application Bible to save time. But like I said, we're going to talk about this covenant that God made with Abraham. Because God is a God covenant. God always operate with covenant. And the seal of covenant, it always had to be blood shed. Now, in Revelation, it tells us that Jesus was slain before the foundation of the world. You know, now, you know, some people say, well, I don't understand. I know I can't give you all the information, but I can give you the basic part of it. But you can go back and study in it. On it, because we in covenant with God. Like I said, when we came into the New Testament, God did not do away with covenant. And I'm going to show it to you in the scriptures, okay? All right. And Father, it's in Jesus' name, I thank you for this day. I bless you and I praise you for it. I thank you right now, Father, for what you're going to do. We plead the blood of Jesus over the airways. I plead the blood of Jesus against the spirit of detraction. That would try to come to interfere with the people. I pray, Father, help us today to see what you want us to see through your word. Father, help us today. Give me the words that I need to say. And I thank you and I praise you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. In Hebrews, the 11th chapter, we're going to begin reading at the 8th verse. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going, and even when he reached the land. Now, like I said, I'm in the Living Bible. But like I said, this can help you, okay? It tells us how he reached the land God promised him. He lived there by faith, for he was like a foreigner living in a tent. And so did Isaac and Jacob, to whom God gave the same promise. Abraham did this because he was confident, looking forward to a city with eternal foundation, a city designed and built by God. It was by faith that Sarah, together with Abraham, was able to have a child. Even though they was too old and Sarah were barren, Abraham believed that God would keep his promise. And to a whole nation came from this one man, Abraham, who was too old to have any children, a nation with so many people that like the stars of the sky and the sand on the seashore. There is no way to count them. All these faithful ones died without receiving what God had promised them. Now, a lot of them, you know, a lot of the faithful ones, they did die before they got to the promised land, and then some died because they did not believe and trust God to do what God said. And y'all listen, when the Bible says it's impossible to please God without faith, we must operate in faith. The Bible even tells us in Romans the 12th chapter that God then gave each one of us a measure of faith. If you've been born again, one of the gifts that God give us, and I ain't talking about the gift of faith, the word miracles and all, but God, to each one of us, God give us faith. Because God, in order for us to communicate with God, we have to do it by faith. And faith is the confidence of what God done promised us, it shall come to pass. Now, in the Living Bible, in Hebrews 11:1, he said, what is faith? It is the confidence, assurance that what we hope for is going to happen. It is the evidence of the things we cannot yet see. God, we cannot see it yet. But faith guarantee us that what God said, he going to do it. And faith is just like money. Money, well, you know, we still can use money. Most people use their debit card. But that debit card is the assurance that the money that I'm purchaser with is in the bank. Well, faith the same way. And I'm telling you, in the hour and the time that we living in, you know, God hit the pause button on my life in 2019. And he's still upgrading me. He's still, my faith is, he's enlightening more now. He's giving me more understanding, more revelation, his word, for this hour and this time. And I'm telling you, when we see what God's word say, praise the Lord. I pray that if someone is on, I hope that someone is tuned in to the broadcast. Do I have any listeners? Hallelujah. Do we have any listeners? Well, I'm going to keep going because I'm on. I'm on and I'm just going to keep going with it. If you can't hear me, I hope someone let me know. But anyway, the point I want to make, like I said, I want you to know that a lot of them didn't receive, and the Bible tells us, without faith, it is impossible to please God without faith. And that's something that faith is not something we come up with. Faith is like I said, having confidence in what God say. Well, you know, you got to know what he said. A lot of times, people pray, but they don't have the word or the promise that God say he'll do it. You got to have faith and have confidence in what God said, because listen, the enemy going to contend for the faith. He going to attack you, and you got to know what God said versus what you believe in God for. Then you got to learn how to stand on and persevere with it. And this is what it was saying. He said, all these faithful ones died without receiving what God had promised them. But they saw it all from a distance and welcomed the promise of God. They agreed that they was no more than foreigners here on earth. And obvious people who talk like that are looking forward to a country they can call their own. If they had meant the country they came from, they would. Let me read that again. If they had met the country they came from, they would have found a way to go back. But they was looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. That is why God is not ashamed to call their God, for he have prepared a heavenly city for them. It was by faith that Abraham, you see that? There too, if you see this, even in this chapter, Hebrews, the 11th, he constantly saying by faith what Noah did, by faith what Enoch did. He constantly talking it by faith. Faith is the main ingredient. Please hear me. Faith is the master key that open up all the blessing, the promise, cause you and I to reap our inheritance. Faith is the key. You know, a master key can open up anything. Well, I can compare faith to the master key in the natural. A master key will open up any lock. It'll open it up. Where faith will open up, or better yet, faith give us access not only to our creator, but it give us access to our inheritance. It opens up everything for us. That's why faith is so important. And remember, when it was time for Apostle Paul to depart from the earth, he said he had fought a good fight. He said, and I kept the faith. He said, I kept the faith. In every battle that you and I have with Satan, it's about our faith. He's coming after your faith. In Mark, the 4th chapter, Matthew, the 13th chapter, it said the sower planted the seed, which is the word of God, and it said immediately came the weak one. He didn't even say when he came for the word, Satan brought offenses. He brought tribulation. But his number one goal was he was after the word. And it's up to you and I to make sure we don't give him the word, the revelation, the knowledge, the understanding we done got. That's what he's after. But let me go on. Now, then it tells us in the 17th verse, it was by faith that Abraham offered Isaac after sacrifice when God was testing him. Abraham, who had received God's promise, was ready to sacrifice his only son, Isaac, though God had promised him, Isaac is the son through whom your descendant will be counted. Abraham assumed if Isaac died, God was able to bring him back to life again. And in a sense, Abraham did receive his son back from the dead. Okay, now, I told you I wanted to inject and include this in here about the covenant. Because like I said, God is a God of covenant. And I'm going to say it again, just because the old covenant is up, and we're in the New Testament, but y'all, we still in a new covenant. Covenant is so important. A lot of people don't have a covenant mindset. They have a religion mindset, what you think it's all about. But we have to get in the Bible and find out this covenant. What is covenant? How do a covenant benefit me? Now, when I was growing up, a lot of time I used to hear my daddy, they didn't have a lot of contracts. Some did and some didn't. But they would shake hands on it. Man, word was they bond. That's the way it worked. Well, you know, a lot of people ain't like that nowadays. They'll say one thing to you and they'll do the opposite. Amen. They'll say they're going left and they'll go right. You know, but God is a covenant-keeping God. If God promised something, he's going to do it. That's just the way God works. God is a God of integrity. And the Old Testament people, a lot of them understood what covenant was. Now, we had some back then. They broke the covenant of God. They didn't do what God said do. Come on now. And even with, you go read Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, a lot of them suffered the consequences because they violated their covenant with God. But I want to show you that. And now I'm in Genesis, the 15th chapter. Genesis, the 15th chapter, I'm not going to read all of it in its entirety, but you can go read it yourself. When you have, make some time and go read Genesis, the 15th chapter. And it talk about the covenant that God made with him. Now, I'm going to read I'm going to start at the first verse. I'm in the King James. It said, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abe in a vision, saying, fear not, Abe, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Now, okay, I'm going to drop down to the third verse. I'm trying to get this over. But Abraham said, now, Lord, in that second verse, Abraham said, the Lord, what would thy give me, saying, I go with thy, go childless. Okay, the third verse, it said, Abe said, behold, to me thou have given no seed, lo, one born in my house is my heir. God told him that was his heir. Okay, but God told him he was going to have a son, give him a son from his own bowels. I want to get down here to that 18th verse, like I said, for time's sake. But time said, I'm going to drop down. But if you read all of it, God cut covenant with Abraham. And like I said, always in a covenant, blood had to be shed. That's why every year up under the old covenant, when the high priest came to God, what the high priest was the only one, would go in the holy of holies and offer up the sacrifice of blood. They had to have a lamb. That's why John the Baptist, when he seen Jesus, he said, behold, the Lamb of God who take away the world's sin. Jesus was offered up as a lamb. But he was a pure lamb because up under the old covenant, the high priest had to make, first of all, that he was prepared to go and he had to purify himself. You know, I'm paraphrasing it. I'm giving you, you know, a little summary of it because all of this is so important. Okay? But in that 18th verse, I'm going to drop down for time's sake. It said, in that same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram. Now, he had changed his name. But after this, he changed his name. But he said, in that same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land from the river Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. You see, God made a covenant. And like I said, okay, I'm going to give you just a little bit about a covenant, what a covenant is. The making of a covenant is, it described from the 9th to the 17th verse. That's why I said you can read on your own. And it consists in taking a slaughter animal, cutting them in half, and the halves separate and place opposite each other. After this, the two parties, a covenant had to be two people, two parties. After this, the two covenant into the agreement will walk between the two halves of the slain animal, symbolizing if they did not keep the promise of the covenant, they would perish. Just like the slain animal. And see, there too, again, like I want you to see the importance of this. And see, in the new covenant, God came and him and Jesus made a covenant. Because every covenant God made from Genesis all the way up to Matthew, they broke the covenant. They kept breaking covenant. God would keep his part, but man couldn't keep his part. And that's what violate the covenant. But when Jesus and the Father came in covenant, Jesus was he was the Lamb. That's why when he offered up his blood for sin, it ain't got to be offered up no more. They ain't got to make atonement every day. Oh, man, this is good. This is good. But like I said, it'll do you good if you go study a little bit about the covenant. Although the covenant used to stand responsible for both parties, and this is the only God paired between the peace of the animal, God alone us the promise and the obligation of the covenant, Abe had only to accept them in obedience. Now, if you go to Genesis, the 17th chapter, and that second verse, it said, the third verse is, if when Abe was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abe and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thy perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. Now, God made, that's what I'm saying, God established a covenant, but he told Abraham not only him but his seed. And when God made this covenant, that's why I said if you read Genesis, the 15th chapter, and then read Genesis, the 17th chapter, it continued with the covenant. I want to give you an idea of what it is. Because if some of you come into the knowledge and the understanding of what it means to be in covenant with God in the New Testament, if I know what I'm in covenant, my covenant rights, I'm going to tell you, it'll help sustain you. You even if you miss it sometimes, you will say, look, I missed it, but if I can repent, 1 John, the first chapter, I can confess my sins. And see, that's what makes it good. We all not are priests. Up under the old covenant, only a high priest could go into the tabernacle, or better yet, the Holy of Holies. Couldn't nobody go in there but the high priest. But the Bible said we are war priesthood. We all, as born-again believers, you can go to God for yourself. Now, that's not excluding your leaders or somebody else coming in agreement with you, but you can go to God yourself and repent. The moment you miss it, Father, forgive me. And the Bible said the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Okay? Well, it's 12:30, half of my time gone. But I want you to get this, because if you really get this, my brother and my sister, it truly would be a blessing to you. It will really help you, you know, because like I said, a lot of times when it comes down to salvation, a lot of times people got a religion and a tradition mindset about it. Bless your little heart. You keep saying God's gonna do this. God's gonna do this. Listen, when you come into the realization, the knowledge and understanding about this new covenant that Jesus sealed with his blood, you will find out everything that we need. God done already took care of it. It's already done. Yes, it is. But you have to receive it by faith. You got to do that. That's what made those in the hero, what made them the heroes of faith. They believed, they persevered with faith, even when it appeared like it wasn't going to happen. And some of them died, and some of the promised, the faithful one, they, some of them had not already died, and they hadn't seen some of the promise fulfilled. But they still continue to persevere. They did not allow their circumstances to cause them to throw in the towel. I want you to hear what I'm saying. Y'all listen, the Bible tells us on this earth we're going to have trials, we're going to have tribulation, we're going to have persecution, affliction. All of that going to show up. But none of that, it's none of that. We shouldn't allow none of those things to happen or cause us to throw in the towel, to cast away our confidence in God. Just because you saved, that don't exclude you from tribulation and persecution. It don't. If anything, it draw it to you. Because the enemy going to always come against the believers. Well, he already got the unbelievers. And that's why the unbeliever need to get saved. But the enemy going to always come against you. If you don't made up in your mind to live right, the devil, Satan, Luke, he going to always send demons your way. He going to always try to detract us. He going to always try to get us to doubt God. He going to always try to get us to second guess what God say. That's what he do. Now, somebody, I don't need that. I just claim it. Name it and claim it. It don't have automatic like that. Yeah, you can name and claim it, but sometimes it's a long time before the manifestation. And you got to know how to hold fast to the profession of your faith. You got to keep your confession right while you wait on the manifestation. Abraham was 99 years old. But he was 75 when God told him he was going to give him a son. But Isaac did not show up until 24 years later. He was 100 when he showed up. And I'm telling you, that's why when it come down to faith, y'all, we got to learn how to be consistent. We got to learn how to persevere. Come on, somebody. We got to learn how to keep our joy. We got to learn how to keep our peace. We got to come to the realization, I'm not in this thing by myself. Now, in Hebrews, I'm going to go to Hebrews, the 8th chapter, the 6th verse. I'm doing this because, like I said, some people, they don't see the New Testament as a new covenant. Some people don't know the difference. Come on, somebody. And the enemy wants you to stay there. Now, Jesus said in John 10:10, I came that you would have life and you would have it more abundantly. Well, if you haven't been born again, that promise is not for you. But if you don't accept Jesus, your personal Savior, if you don't repent it, well, guess what? That promise is to you. I came that you would have life and that you would have it more abundantly. But it's not going to just automatically happen. I want you to hear me. Over the years, I struggled because when I got saved, I hadn't renewed my mind according to the kingdom. I still had a religious mindset. I would go on fast because I was fast and I would believe in God to give me power. Didn't know I didn't have to do all of that. Now, I thought fasting would cause God to release his power to me. That's what I thought it was. But I found out, it bring my flesh under submission to the Trinity so that I can hear God. Come on, somebody. You know, the psalmist said on one occasion, my soul, be still. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotion. And sometimes it can be all over the place. You have to tell your soul to be quiet, be still. Sometimes you have to pull away, get away from all the distraction. Maybe go in the room, cut the TV off, cut the phone, and just get still and put on a praise and worship tape and begin to praise and worship God. If not, just begin to thank God for who he is, for what he done did for you. Because like I said, nobody is exempted from trouble. Please hear me. As a born-again believer, you are not exempted from trouble. But you need to know you have the victory. Regardless of what Satan bring in your life that is contrary to what God said, you have the victory, but you got to know how to persevere and fight. Come on, somebody. Well, in Hebrews, the 8th chapter, I probably just lay a foundation. We might pick up here on Thursday, continue, because this is so important. In Hebrews, the 8th chapter, I want you to look at the 6th verse. It said, but now have he obtained a more excellent ministry by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promise. Now you see that? Okay, I'm going to read the 7th verse. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then shall no place have been sought for the second. But finding fault with them, he said, he told the Lord, behold, the day come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their father in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continue not in my covenant, and I regard them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law into their mind and write them in their heart, and I will be to them a God, that they shall be to me a people. And see, you can read all of it, but my point is, we have a better covenant. The Spirit of God is on the inside of us. Back then, even when God made the covenant with Abraham, Abraham had to circumcise himself, all of the men that was with him. Plus, when Isaac came, he had to circumcise the foreskin of Isaac. He had to do that. The way we circumcise our heart now, we receive Jesus. We believe on Jesus. We repent and ask him to come into our heart. And that's how our heart be circumcised. Then after that, we have to get in God's word daily and renew our mind. Find out what God. Because even in a covenant, each partner have their part to play. And I'm finding out that God is not going to do what he told you and I to do. Come on, somebody. God ain't going to do what he told you to do. Well, I mean, it's 12:38. I might, if the Lord let me know, just take your time. Okay, I'm going to go to Hebrews, the 8th chapter in my living. Because I'm telling you, once you get a knowledge and an understanding and a revelation about this covenant, I'm telling you, you do yourself well, you know, do some reading up on covenant and find out about this new covenant, because we in covenant with God. A lot of saints, the moment they miss it, the enemy condemns you for days and weeks. Some folks are backslid because I done messed up so many times. I know God don't want me. God don't hear my prayers no more. Now, when sin stands between you and God, you confess it and just say, Lord, help me. I remember a man in the gospel told Jesus, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Jesus had said, get out of my face, but he was merciful. He said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. And Jesus went right on and helped him. God helped all of us. But listen, God ain't going to do what you and I supposed to do. Come on now.
You and I have our part to play. God, I think I mentioned this one day last week. God is not going to override our will. He's not going to violate our will. It's just like on the job, you know. And God had me to give this illustration on Saturday in the time we were ministering. I think it's really good. It's just like, I'm going to compare a God covenant to $1 million. But it's more value to us than $1 million. Billions is more value. If somebody in your family, your ancestor, left you $1 million, it's certain rules you have to go by in order to get it. Ain't no way. If you understand the value of what it means to have $1 million in the bank, in your account, somebody left it for you, but a certain document got to be signed, certain things have to be pulled, you going to find a way to get that money out of that bank. I know I would. Some way I'm going to try to get that money out. Some way I'm going to find a way to get that money out the bank. I'm not going to let that money stay there. And my brother, you ain't either. Well, let me tell you something. If you're a born-again believer in this new covenant, you have access to everything that you have need of on this earth to be successful, victorious. It's in the covenant. I tell you, this is good. I tell you, I get excited. I have to calm down because you got to get cover-minded. We have to learn to be body-minded, but we have to learn to be cover-minded as well. Okay? In Hebrews, the 8th chapter, I'm reading from the Living Bible, that 6th verse. I'm going to start at the 6th verse. Where that 6th verse at? Hallelujah, Lord, we love you. But our high priest have been given a ministry that it first appeared to the ministry who serve under the old laws. For he is the one who guaranteed for us a better covenant with God based on better promise. If the first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no need for a second covenant to replace it. But God himself found fault with the old one when he said that they will come, say the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and Judah. This covenant will not be like the one I made with your ancestors when I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt. They did not remain faithful to my covenant. So I turned my back on them, saying the Lord, say the Lord. But this is the new covenant I will make with the people of Israel on that day, said the Lord. And you go and see what he did. We got this new covenant. But Jesus was the lamb that had to be offered up in order for this new covenant to be established, to come in place. When Jesus did that, you know, the old saints used to say, so I know it was the blood. Listen, the blood of Jesus didn't only deliver you from sin, but the blood of Jesus got rid of that sin nature. See, up under the old covenant, every year the high priest had to go and release the blood, put the blood on the mercy seat. But they went away with that same sin nature. Come on, somebody. They went back home. They continued to operate in a sin nature. Come on. It didn't get rid of the guilt. It didn't get rid of the condemnation. It didn't get rid of none of that. But in this new covenant, when Jesus offered his blood, took it to the mercy seat, he made peace between God and humanity. That's why all who come in the name of Jesus and believe on Jesus, receive him as their Savior, God get rid of that sin nature. Oh, that's good news. Then you can receive or be baptized in the Holy Ghost. When Jesus even said, he said, it's best for me if I depart. It's best for you. If I don't depart, he won't come unto you. He said, but I'm going to send you another comforter. See, the comforter ain't just with me. He in me. Good God Almighty. Yeah, I'm telling you, and like I said, when God had me, he said, I want you to inject this into the teaching, the message I'm giving you. When we come into that knowledge and understanding about covenant, and see, the covenant, just like that $1 million in the bank, you got to know how to go about so you can receive it, so they can release it. And like I said, faith. That's why he says it's impossible to please him without faith. Now, this might not be helping y'all, but it's helping Prophet Miller because I need help. And I thank God for giving me help. Upon, it's the, under the, I'm going to read a little bit of notes. Under the old covenant, salvation in a right relationship with God came through a faith relationship with God expressing through obedience to his laws and his sacrifice system. And that's what they had to do. Now, the Bible say we don't have to offer up no lamb. I thank you, God. I thank God I ain't got to go get no lamb and cut it and let it take it to the priest. And I take the lamb and he cut his throat and pour it all in. I'm glad. I mean, blood do have an odor. I'm glad we don't have to do that no more. But we have to sacrifice our life. That's why Jesus, whosoever will, let him come. Now, y'all see how God taking this thing and just turn it around. Because all of us need it. I need it too. You got some people, yeah, in the Bible. I'm sure they understand what comes. But we got some people that don't understand. What is this new covenant about? God done made it better. It's really easy for us. Because up under the Mosaic law, you had to keep every one of the laws. If you just violated one, you were guilty of them all. Now, we got two. The love of God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength. And the love of our neighbor as ourselves. Really? All we got to do is believe. Now, listen. Believe is more than believe that God exists. I want you to hear me. See, the children of Israel, after they seen the 10 plagues that God did, and he brought them out, the Bible said, with a strong hand. Do you not know they got right there when Moses told them to release the spies to go in and spy out the land? Though when them spies came back and those spies gave that evil report and said, they like giants. We like grasshoppers to them. They're demonic. Well, guess what? They took their eyes, they forgot all about what God did in bringing them out of Egypt. And y'all listen, sometimes we, as born-again believers, we forget about maybe years ago what the Lord did. Bring it home maybe yesterday, maybe a month ago. As I say all the time, our faith is not supposed to be in somebody else's experience. But our faith and confidence is supposed to be in the one that made the covenant, or we in covenant with. Because guess what? God ain't gonna never miss it. Jesus ain't gonna never miss it. Come on, somebody. Our Heavenly Father made it easy for us. Our problem, just talking, listen, it's only not easy because you lack in knowledge. You lack an understanding and revelation about what God have done for us through Jesus. That's what it is. Hosea 4:6, and my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Anytime we don't have knowledge and understanding, revelation, and wisdom about who God is, what God done did for us through Jesus, you're going to struggle. You're going to open yourself up to fear. You open yourself up to fear, stress, frustration. When you, it's old things you say, you get in a hard place. What I'm going to do? I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, guess what? He said, when you fall, he said, count it all joy when you fall and dive into temptation. But he said, but know this. Knowing me, you need to know who really is in charge over your life. You see, as a born-again believer, and as we daily submit and devote and continue, because guess what? God in charge of our lives. not the enemy. Now, he'll put up a big fight, a lot of smoke like him, but he's not. That's why it's so good. And that's what, when you go back in the Old Testament, remember Hezekiah, Jehoshaphat, when they got in the battle, they cried out to the God of Covenant. And God showed up. If they sin, they repented for the sin. Lord, look like you're going to be working on covenant. Okay, Father. Thank you. Listen, I thank God for this opportunity on the air. But I'm not on this on the air just to say, oh, Prophet Miller's on there. No. My assignment is to reveal to God's people what belong to them and help them to walk in it, to receive it, to see the manifestation of it. Not to try to stir you, get you all excited, stir your emotion, and then when you get off the broadcast, you read back. No. That's not the gospel. That's not my assignment. And I'm telling you, you get a knowledge and an understanding and a revelation about this covenant, this new and better covenant that you in, honey, you're going to run every demon out of your house. And the moment the devil shows up, you say, you is defeated. You're a defeated foe. I don't have to listen at you. You coming to try to detract me and get me to die, but I choose not only to believe that God exists, not only believe that God able, but I'm going to trust him. I'm going to wait upon the Lord to do it, and I'm going to be of good courage. I'm telling you, it will make a difference, my sister, my brother, when you come into the knowledge of who he is. Come on, somebody. And like I said, Jesus did it up under that old covenant. Like I said, and not only in this new covenant, let me tell you something, that we have the covenant of the Spirit. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit is our helper. He lives in us. He talked to us. He revelate. He revealed things to us. He bring understanding to us. He opened up our spirit to eyes. See, this is what make it a better covenant. Up in the old covenant, the Spirit just come up on us. But in this new covenant, each one of us is this earthly vessel that God's anointed in. Up in the old covenant, he only had to go the tabernacle. But now, we the tabernacle. Come on, somebody. I'm telling you, once you come into this knowledge and understanding, so do yourself a favor. Take some time this week and go back and read about the covenant. It's the Holy Spirit, Omar, give me some knowledge and understanding about the covenant. He'll do it. Jesus, if you're going through having heavy trial, he said, if any man like wisdom, let him ask God. God had now revealed something a couple of weeks ago. And I said, Lord, I don't understand what you're saying. And he began to open that thing up to me. God, you were saying that the spirit of interference, the spirit of detraction is there. God, show me who is that in my life. He said, this right here, that's the spirit of detraction, trying to get you the little focus. You know, you ever notice sometimes God can tell you to be doing one thing, and you start focus on and you start trying to do that thing. And we use the term now, all hell breaks. Trouble from every side, every time. This, all that is to detract you from the last or the main thing God will have you to be focused on. And that's the way the enemy works. But listen. Because of my covenant, I think I'm gonna work. What I'm sensing in my spirit, we gonna work some on this covenant. We all gonna work on this covenant. I'm gonna work with you, cause I need some refreshing and fresh revelation myself, fresh mouth. You know, upon the old covenant when they came out of Egypt and the people cried about food, they want food. They were already mumbling by self. Some of them, they just forgot about everything God did. But then they had a mixture, of people, because they, bless their little heart, they had been in Egypt so long, they took on the Egypt lifestyle. They cast away their confidence. They lost focus on how the Israelites, they lost focus on how they supposed to live as God chose some people, the mindset of the Egyptians. their lifestyle, the way they did things. And that's why a lot of when that's why a lot of mom and grandma, you know what? We have to be careful. The old saints used to say, we in the world but not a part of the world. We have to be careful that we don't take on the mindset of the world. That's why another reason that we need to renew our mind daily. Come on, somebody. That's why sometimes you got to shut the TV off. You got to shut that phone off. You got to shut your conversation and get in there and read the word. You know, the enemy, he don't want you to read the word. He'll try to put you to sleep, or the phone will start ringing, or the doorbell start ringing. Or something. See, because he know if they get this word in them, if they come to the knowledge. I remember missing one time, ain't been too long ago, and I done took it on myself. We have a Christ, identity Christ, in the body of Christ. We got I don't like to use the word lot, but it might be a lot of times. They don't know who they are in Christ. They don't know what Christ did for them. The devil is the one ought to be on the run, not you and me. He the one is supposed to tremble, not you and me. He the one ought to be afraid, not you and me. Are you and I? We're not supposed to be the one. He supposed to be. I ain't trying to outrun him. What you trying to outrun somebody that's defeated? And he's going to always, that's why Peter said, he said, be sober and vigilant, because your adversary goes about as a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. Why, if he's so powerful, why is he seeking? He goes about as a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. You know why he's seeking? Because guess what? Somebody know who they are in Christ. My thing is, well, why are you adding about to come? Because listen, if you put your faith and confidence in the God of the covenant and get some knowledge, it'll help you better. All the stress, frustration, and being overwhelmed, being restless, can't sleep at night, worrying about how you're going to pay your bills, that'll be lifted off of you. Yes, it will. No, it might not change your situation, but it'll change you. You'll know that I'm chosen of God. Only certain things God's going to allow to happen in my life. You can say like Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, since I'm committed to him and his covenant, only what's in the plan of God going to take place in my life. If he don't deliver me out the fire furnace, it wasn't that he could. You'll be able to trust God and have that peace. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you for your word today. I give you praise. I give you honor. I give you glory for your word. Father, forgive us for our lack of knowledge and our unbelief and doubt. Forgive us for not taking the time some to renew their mind, to get in your word and read your word. Forgive us, Father, in the name of Jesus. Forgive us, Father, in the name of Jesus, by our eyes pertaining to the covenant, that we may be able to focus more on the covenant and what the covenant have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, this was Apostle Miller, and I want to thank and praise the Lord for each and every one that tuned in. Listen, go back and read over scripture and read about the covenant, okay? And listen, enjoy the rest of your day. I decree victory and that you will overcome today even the more. Enjoy the rest of your day.